Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Okay, what's the number one reason you should try Instacart? Shopping over 1.5 million unique products from over 1,000 retailers and get everything delivered right to your door in as fast as 1 hour, all in one app. So you can spend more time with the ones who matter most. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning to you. It is Thursday. Oh, we're so close to Friday. We are so close. And for a lot of people, the majority of Americans, it was a full work week. Like last week when many of you slackers took off Memorial Day weekend. No, it was a full work week. It is a full work week. And so we're getting closer to, oh my goodness, the second weekend in June. Just to say that out loud is nutso. Second weekend in June. And we'll see how long the NBA Finals last, because the Denver Nuggets maybe, just maybe, have figured out the way to slam the door in the face of any Heat fourth quarter comeback. Now, just because they did it once doesn't mean they can do it again, but that has been their major issue. And last night, problem solved. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Always good to hear from those of you who've just found the show for the first time, like Brian. I've been listening for a couple weeks. I very much enjoy it. On the road every day at 2:30. Now, I'm not sure what time zone that is, but we are glad to have you. If you must keep these hours and you must be on the road in your car, regardless of the time zone, we are happy to keep you company. I don't know how people wake up in the middle of the night to go to work, because I couldn't do it. Or even worse, middle of the night to work out before they go to work. I definitely couldn't do it. I'd rather be up all night than to wake up before dawn. No, thank you. But we are always happy to connect with new people. On our Hump Show, someone posed the question of, how did you continue to host radio shows during the pandemic when there were no sports? And obviously, anybody who worked in TV and radio and who is still on the air was shifting. We were all shifting. Everybody was shifting, regardless of the industry that you work in. But in the sports industry, even as athletes and coaches and team staff members and workers and volunteers and stadium workers, everybody in the industry, marketing, we all had to pivot. But in TV and radio, there was this idea that we had to fill the time. I tell you what, some of the best shows that we've ever done on After Hours came during the pandemic. Not because I was filling time. Certainly I'm a talker and I didn't have any trouble talking. But the shift for me in my focus was about connecting and conversing. So it was connection and it was conversation. And those became my two goals. And yeah, we had sports news that we would drop in. We did some extended interviews, so I was no longer worrying about making the interviews fit into a particular time slot, no longer worried about keeping them to a certain length. We did a few extra interviews, and we took our time, and we talked to people, but that was part of connection and conversation. And so ultimately, that's what radio is. It's talking. And if we can make a connection and we can draw you into our conversation, well, then I feel like we have done the job, and I have done the job as I see it. That may not be the case for every other radio host, but after 20 plus years in sports talk radio, after 25 years in this industry, that's where my focus is and will remain. So it shifted during the pandemic, and that's still my goal for every show, is to connect as part of a conversation. And so that people know that I'm into connections and I'm all about the conversation. And really, that's how, for me anyway, I've been able to expand the show. I've been able to stretch myself as a host, but also how Our show appeals to people beyond just the sports realm and beyond just the sports industry. So we're always glad to hear from you on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page too. Jay did share a photo of New York City, actually the Bronx, and it was afternoon when the air quality was really bad. I shared a time-lapse video from the Weather Channel that shows you the deterioration in the air quality and the color changes that took place from 11 a.m. Eastern time in New York City. So it's lower Manhattan or Manhattan from 11 o'clock in the morning yesterday until 2 in the afternoon. And it's eerie. The skies turn orange. And so there are photos out there. Check out our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Or like I said, I shared the video from the Weather Channel that just blew me away. It's quick. It's about 10 seconds, really, in a GIF form. But it was eerie. And the smell of smoke, it's acrid and it's prominent. And the forecasters keep extending these air quality alerts. So New York City schools are actually canceled on Thursday. And they may cancel them on Friday as well because they don't want kids out and about walking to school. A little pandemic-like, right? Every outdoor event that I know of was canceled in New Jersey and New York. And this is just because I live in the area. I know that there are more than a dozen states that are under air quality alerts because of these wildfires that continue to rage in Canada. More than 200 of them now in the eastern half of the country between Nova Scotia and Quebec. A lot of people are in the same boat. Some of you are sending me your own photos as well. So please be careful. I've seen more people in masks than I have in quite a while outdoors. And I decided not to run yesterday and really couldn't have. I took Penny out for a walk for just a quick short walk around the block because the dog will not do her business if we don't walk. And so I took her out just 3 minutes. We were outside and then we turned around and went back in. And within those 3 minutes already, my eyes were stinging and I could feel it in my throat. Now I'm pretty careful about my vocal cords anyway, but I could feel the smoke in my throat. And one particular scientist who studies air quality and the impact on humans said on the Weather Channel, this is crazy, and I heard it again when I was driving into work listening to New York news radio. If you spend an hour outside in the air that was as bad as it was yesterday in many parts of the Northeast and the upper Midwest, an hour outside is like smoking a half a pack of cigarettes yourself. And so I decided not to run. I stayed inside. Well, I would have loved to have all the windows open because the temps were in the mid-60s. And then by the time I came into work last night, temps were in the low 50s. That's my kind of weather. I love it. But not with the smoke, not with the haze and the really thick air quality. You couldn't see the skyline in New York at all. It really just smelled badly. I turned on to get some fresh air in my car because it started to smell, and then obviously realized that's not a good idea because it was then filtering the smoke into my car.
I was just going to ask if you put on your air.
And so then I put on my AC. It's 50 degrees outside. Yeah. I've got my air condition on, but that was the only way to get some fresh air into the car and to have it through the filter as opposed to getting it from the outside. But even initially, when I turned on the AC, I could feel it kind of, I could smell it filtering out the air from the outside. So yeah, it was nasty. And then I thought, well, can I open my windows? No, can't open my windows.
I was thinking the same exact thought process in my way in with, like, I had the AC and I turned it on. I started to smell the smoke. And I was like, oh, let me open the window to get that smell out. Oh, wait, I was only putting more into it.
Exactly.
I had the whole thing.
Exactly. So, yeah, ultimately the AC did chase out the smell of the smoke. But, yeah, I wasn't planning on using AC. In fact, I'd rather use the heat. It was like 51, 52 degrees, but I had to get rid of that smoky smell somehow. And I'm sure it's just me being nervous about my vocal cords, but it almost felt like I could feel in my throat.
No, it's thick.
It's really thick. Yeah, so check out, again, the photos, the video that are up on our Twitter accounts and also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Denver, Miami, not in the mile high altitude anymore, and thankfully not dealing with the smoke or the wildfire residual smells. It was all clear in Miami. I was a little bit jealous. And so this was a game so critical, right? If you know the stats, essentially in a tie series, whether it's game 3 or game 5, both games 3 and game 5 are major indicators of who goes on to win the series. Now, it's kind of funny, right? Because if the series is tied after two and the winner of game three is supposed to be an indicator, well, then why do you need game five as an indicator, right? But you do, because a lot of times you do see a tie series then. But yes, big picture, going back and looking at the NBA Finals and the winner of game three in a tie series, often, as in three quarters of the time, goes on to win the series. Now, Miami Heat could come back to tie, in which case game five will be the major indicator. But you can understand why these two teams were fighting and scratching and clawing early on, and it was a good back and forth.
Lowry rips it from Joker. Caleb has it. Climb up, reverse it, bounces in for the bucket. There should be an and one, but this place is exploding because they'll take the points. Heat up 37-33.
Murray behind the nail. Lost the basketball, got it back, throws it off over to Joker. Down low to Jeff Green. Kick out over to Murray, and a three. Yes, that's a big bucket there, boy.
Now drives, gets it to Martin, reverse, puts it up. Missed, bam, does not. He cleaned it up. Out of bio cleaning service at your service. The Heat go up 44-42.
Jamal Murray throws it to the high post to Nikola Jokic. Guarded by Adebayo. He gets double teamed. Kick out three, Murray. Good. Nothing but net on that one. And Denver's back in the lead by one.
This was a good tug of war in the first half. You hear both Jason Jackson on Heat Radio, Jason Kosmicki on Nuggets Radio. Denver left some points out there. They missed a couple of bunnies at the rim in the first half. Miami would actually jumped out to a five-point lead initially. The place was rocking. And then even after Denver took the lead, Miami would reel the Nuggets back in with five straight points here or a couple of buckets there or a steal and a good defensive stop. So Denver is only up five at the half. Now, the Nuggets start to pull away in the third. And it seemed like every time the Heat would make a mini run and would string some points together and the fans would get into it, a member of the Nuggets would come up with a big shot. That's what the Heat could not do. We saw them make a ton of threes and really spread the offense and spread the floor in their game two comeback. But the Nuggets, even though at times they were shaky, Jamal Murray had seven turnovers in this game. Jamal was amazing. He had a bunch of clutch threes in the game. So, and his threes seemed to be answers every time the Nuggets needed them. But he did have a bunch of turnovers. And so the Heat would, as I say, keep close. And then the Nuggets would pull away. And it was kind of like that. I know that we're going to focus, and we should, on the fact that you've got two teammates with triple-doubles for the first time in an NBA Finals game. Huge. And I talked a little bit about Joker and Jamal in the first hour and why their tandem in this duo is so effective. But there was a little extra something-something for the Denver Nuggets off the bench. Mike Malone tried a lot of different combinations. Did you see Reggie Jackson come in the game in the first half? I think he tried 12 different guys in this game and was working various combinations. The one that stuck, the guy that gave the Nuggets a spark when they desperately needed it, a rookie by the name of Christian Brown.
19 seconds on the shot clock, extended minutes here for Christian Brown, the rookie out of Kansas. Inbound goes to Christian. Christian brings it back out over the point, goes to the left hand, hands it off to Joker. Little floater's good. 86-70. Jamal Murray has it up the left sideline. He's guarded by Caleb Martin. He gets a pick from Nikola Jokic. They switch the pick and roll. They jump Murray. Down low to Christian. Layup is up and in, and a foul as well. The rookie coming to play in the fourth quarter tonight for Denver. Here comes Christian. Christian runs into Butler, shoots over him, and he got it to go.
And that was a foul, too. He went right into Jimmy Buckets. Bam, bam, Buckets.
I have to give Christian a lot of love. I feel his play. What a bad press room, by the way. I felt Christian Brown's play was fantastic. Did not look like a rookie. Aggressive, strong, physical, confident. And his 15-4 off the bench in 19 minutes were very, very impactful. So, good win for us, but we did not come down here to get one win.
He knows what to do to stay on the floor. He's solid on defense, shoots the gaps, plays hard. In the right spot, he crashes. plays solid defense, you know, so he knows the offense will come when he's doing those things, and he's playing with a lot of confidence. We're finding him like he's a five-year vet, you know, he's just playing the game the right way every game. Even if he makes mistakes, he knows how to bounce back, and I think that's huge for a rookie, especially getting these kind of minutes. And, you know, he's got a lot more game to come, you know, not just in these finals, but, you know, for his career. We're excited to see what he can do.
Those guys trust me, so I can't really fail if I go out there and play hard. They don't expect much from me as far as the offensive end. They just, you know, expect me to go out there and, you know, give effort on defense, rebound, whatever it is. Try to get extra possession for those guys to score. So they trust me. They put me in the right spots, and all I got to do is, you know, lay a ball in and get a steal. So my job's pretty easy, and those guys made me look pretty good.
Christian Brown, 15 points, 4 rebounds, a steal, an assist, a pretty impressive dunk. And the guys raving about him, not just Michael Malone, but Jamal Murray. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio.
What a bad press room, by the way.
Do you think he would say that about our studio, Mike Malone? He stops in the middle of his comments about the post game or at the post game. It's like, what a bad press room.
You put that in your pipe, you smoke it.
He's been so grumpy lately. I think he needs a nap. I mean, it's got to wear on you. The long hours, watching tape, not sleeping, stressing out over how they have not won the fourth quarters, right?
He's not used to being in the playoffs this long.
The travel. Yeah, I mean, this is it's taxing for Mike Malone, clearly, because he's all kinds of spicy. Don't you dare go after his star, Nikola Jokic. Don't you dare disrespect the Nuggets by talking about the Lakers' adjustments on defense. Don't you dare put him in a crappy press room because he's going to call you out. And you know what? He calls out his own team, too. He calls them soft. He says they lack energy and effort. I mean, he's
soft.
Not holding back these days, Mike Malone.
No one is safe.
Mike Malone has found his groove, and he's in his bag. I should never say that ever, but I feel like it applies to Mike Malone right now. He is taking aim. Ready, aim, fire.
What a bad press room, by the way.
What?
So casually.
What happened to grace? What happened to grace and professionalism? That'd be like me going into a visiting studio when we take After Hours on the road and being like, what a crappy studio this is. On the air.
Like,
right, I'm talking about the Nuggets winning game 3. Man, what a crappy studio this is. Where did they put me anyway?
You think they spruce it up for him in game 4? After
no,
game 4?
No, I think they put him in a closet.
So they make it worse.
The war of words. Bulletin board material, if you will. Okay, you snot. He's big-timing the Miami press room.
Oh, you go down the hall, make a right. Oh, it's a janitor's closet. Oh, yeah, we know.
Oh, my goodness. I tell you, he's been salty for the last couple of months. He's got his eyes on the prize, kind of, until he gets distracted by a crappy press room. Did you ever find a picture of it?
I saw a still picture of it, just like kind of with more of the, it just seemed to me like a normal press room. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like a full 360 shot. I couldn't see the whole thing, but to me, it looked like a normal standard press conference room.
I mean, they're not getting, well, they might. In some places, the press rooms are the same or the teams use the same one, the same media workroom, but not everywhere. Sometimes they separate them. You've always heard the stories going back, you know, 80s and 90s, especially in Boston. I know this just because I was cutting my teeth on late 80s Boston Celtics and into the 90s. There were all these rumors that at the old Boston Garden, they would jack up the temperature in the visitors' locker room. And so it would be like a sauna, or the opposite. They would turn off the heat so it was really cold in there. Yeah, and I'm sure there is some gamesmanship. Don't even try to convince me that there aren't teams out there that put their visitors in poor conditions or that bring visiting teams in and attempt to smoke them out. Oh, that's probably a bad metaphor today. But they attempt to make them uncomfortable as possible for a little bit of gamesmanship, she said. Maybe allow the rats to run roughshod and maybe actually put out food so that
they forgot to clean up the night before.
Yeah,
oh, the rats are
running around in the locker room. It's a crappy press room, by the way. What in the world, Mike Malone?
What a bad press room, by the way.
Maybe a little bit of professionalism. It could go a long way. Did somebody spike his coffee or something? Or maybe he can't find any coffee, and that's the problem. Maybe he's looking for coffee, and that's why it's a crappy press room.
They win. They won the game, too. Why is he worried about the press
imagine
room?
What he would have said if they lost the game.
Exactly. Throwing something.
All right. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, our Facebook page, too. I just got this tweet. If it's a crappy studio, you got to let them know. Absolutely not. I know professionalism dictates that you don't bite the hand of a host that's allowing you to use their studios.
You put that in your pipe, you smoke it.
I have been in closets before, like actual recording closets, and I just make do. Doesn't matter. I mean, I'll tell the story on the radio, but I'm not going to say it's crappy. What?
Can't do that.
No. Never be invited back. All right. Glad to connect with you this morning. Thursday morning, Denver Nuggets. They do withstand a rally by the Miami Heat in the fourth quarter. And for the first time ever, a pair of teammates with NBA Finals triple doubles. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
What you watch depends on what kind of mood you're in. Sometimes you're craving comedies like Friends or South Park, and sometimes you're more into dramas like HBO's Succession and House of the Dragon. There's also cooking shows like Chopped and Beat Bobby Flay, and even movies like The Lord of the Rings and Shazam Fury of the Gods. Well, Max is the streaming destination that has the best of entertainment for whatever mood you're in anytime. And plans start at as little as $9.99 a month. Max, the one to watch. Subscription required. Visit max.com.
T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at tmobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
Your points are worth more than you think. This first-class flight to Tokyo, you can book it in your credit card portal for 1.4 million points. Yowzers. With PointMe, you could redeem just 120,000 points for that same flight. Now that's more like it. PointMe gets you 6 to 12 times the value for your points. Your credit card points are worth more than you think. PointMe. Better flights, fewer points.
Get started today at point.me. That's point.me.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Over halfway home now in the fourth quarter. Jokic hands it off over to Jamal Murray. Takes a long two. Jumpers up and in. 95-79 Denver. Murray, another pick from Nikola Jokic. Murray gets down the lane, leans in. High, lofting layup.
Oh!
The window and down.
Oh!
Man, he threw that thing so high it almost went over the backboard.
It hit the very tip of the glass.
Bounce pass top of the key over to Nikola Jokic. Jokic back over to Murray. Murray goes to the right hand, gets a pick from Nikola. Stops, throws it back to Joker. Head fake on the jumper. Drives in on Adebayo, shoots over him. Jumper's good! Denver leads it by 16 with 3.5 to go in game number 3.
Forget the stats for a second. I felt Jamal Murray's presence, his energy. He was here. He was in the moment. And for him and Nikola to do what they did tonight in a game that we needed to take, regain control and home court advantage of the series was special to watch.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It was special to watch, and it was exactly what the Nuggets needed. 32 points from Nikola Jokic, 21 rebounds. He's a major reason why the Denver Nuggets out-rebounded the Heat by 25. Now, there were a lot more missed shots in there, but 58-33, that's the rebound edge. Wowzers, and Joker a big reason why. So 32-21 and 10 assists for Joker, 34 points, 10 assists, and then in the final 30 seconds, Jamal Murray snags his 10th rebound for a triple-double. So first time in NBA Finals history that two teammates end up with triple-doubles in the same game.
I felt like I didn't bring the intensity that the moment called for. And even though I didn't play terrible, I felt like I could have done a lot more. And you know, most people that have watched the Nuggets play, you know, when I have a game like that, you know, I'm most likely going to bounce back.
He's playing phenomenal. I think the whole playoff, and we're just following him. Like I said, and he's really good leader. His energy is amazing, and we are just following.
What he does, he makes it look so easy. You know, he grabbed 21 boards, and everybody talking about he can't jump. And he's out there battling everybody. He's physical. He's strong. 30 points. People say he doesn't want to score. He gives you 32. And then 10 assists. You know, so it's just he just makes the game look easy throughout the game. And like I said, it's just free throwing. His touch, his creativity, his no look passes, his IQ. I could go down the line. He's a special player, special player.
Jamal and Joker. That duo is uber productive and now two wins away from spearheading a championship, the first in Denver Nuggets playoff history. And I do love that they actually care about each other. They actually want the other to succeed. You remember what was always the friction between Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, both incredible players, both all-stars. And they made it work for a long time. But we knew that they weren't BFFs, and we knew that they tolerated each other. These two guys actually want the other to succeed. It's a relationship that's comfortable. It's easy. They respect and admire what the other brings to the table. And while it's not impossible to do a job if you don't like your coworkers, in this case, your teammates, think back to shows that I've done with coworkers that I actually didn't like at all and couldn't stand. I mean, the shows still were okay. They were fine. I could be professional. I could suck it up. But man, it's so much better to go to work. You're so much more confident. You just feel so much more comfortable when it's teammates or coworkers that you like, that you also want to succeed. And that's these two guys. And you can see it on the court. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Real quick, a couple from the Miami Heat. No one's saying they're buried, or if you are, you should know better, to your own peril. It's interesting that Eric Spoelstra lamented the lack of energy and effort on the hustle plays. I feel like the Nuggets were putting in more effort and energy, which is really what Mike Malone called them out for in game 2 on their own court. And now Eric Spoelstra is saying, hey, we didn't have the same effort and energy as did the Nuggets on our home court, but of course they're not done.
Our guys are built to compete, built to get out there. That cadence of playing every 48 hours. I mean, we'll get to work tomorrow for sure, but our guys, they want to get out there and compete
and have a better showing, for sure.
Maybe, we're at home. We think we did something. I don't know. It just can't happen. It won't happen again. It starts with myself. I got to lock in on a defensive end. I got to go up and get loose balls. So I think if I start playing and doing that, then everybody else has to follow suit.
He also did say, we're going to do this in the next game and we're going to win. Jimmy Butler, he is unwavering in his confidence. But they didn't shoot well. Just 3 Heat who were in double figures. And I hate to say that's the deciding factor because it's not that simple. It really isn't. They got nearly doubled up in the paint, meaning that the Nuggets nearly scored twice as many points as they had in the paint. And that's with the Nuggets missing a bunch of point-blank shots. They got royal out-rebounded. The length and the reach of the Nuggets were a major problem for them in game number 3. And yeah, the intensity wasn't quite there. Now, they did pull within 9 in the fourth quarter, but I think there were just about 90 seconds to go then. So the game was out of reach. Mike Malone said, you win the fourth quarter, you win the game. That's the first time the Nuggets have won the fourth quarter. And in doing so, they won the game. Now, they only won it by a point, but it was on the road, and they regained the home court advantage, which was what they were after. Other NBA news, Chris Paul getting cut by the Phoenix Suns. Even as Frank Vogel is introduced as coach, they could. I've seen the speculation or the reports anyway that they're talking to him and potentially will bring him back. But I said to producer Jay, one too many playoff injuries. You can't count on the guy in the playoffs. That's what it seems like happens over and over again. And so if they are going to break through and be a winner in Phoenix, if they are going to obtain that elusive championship, because they keep getting close, they flirt with it, but they're just not able to quite get through. Frank Vogel certainly has a message for the team. I hope that he says this exact same thing to Kevin Durant. I really do.
Our guys are going to hear that the number one habit that we develop all year is that we have to play harder and tougher and with more hustle than our opponents every night. Because if you develop that habit over 82 games, boy, when you get come playoff time, you know, when every team's trying to ratchet it up, like, it's already going to be there for us, you know. So it's just something, it's going to be a way of life for us, you know, from the beginning of training camp all the way into the playoffs.
Frank Vogel has got a message. It actually, listening to him, no, he doesn't have the same goofiness as Dan Campbell. He didn't talk about biting kneecaps, but he has a very distinct message that he wants the guys to hear. Toughness. We're going to hustle. And there's another word that he used that I loved it. And so he's talked about how he's going to stand in front of the team and he's going to ask for them to have a different attitude.
This is the beginning of a new era in Phoenix Suns basketball. And it's going to be an exciting one. You know, we are committed to bringing in championship level talent. I will be committed to bringing a championship level culture, both on and off the court. When we get out there and play, we're going to be scrappy as hell. Like, we're going to have talent out there, but we're going to be a scrappy team that plays harder than our opponent every night. And we're going to be a team that makes this community very proud.
I love all of it. All of it. I would say potentially stay away from the word scrappy when you're addressing the team in your locker room. Scrappy? Scrappy?
Come on, bro.
Sounds like a little league team. This is scrappy. We're going to be scrappy. Well, it sounds like the Miami Heat, actually. Though I don't know that they would call themselves scrappy. They would say tough. They'd say resilient. I could see tough, disciplined, focused. We're going to hustle. Scrappy? Can you imagine KD? Scrappy?
He's an idiot.
Oh, no. Well, that wouldn't be a great place to start. No, seriously, do you think that Kevin Durant will respond to Frank Vogel when he asks them to be scrappy?
No. That simple answer, no.
Hey, maybe drop the P-Y on the end and just be scrap. We're just going to scrap. Now, that's a little different. That would fly, I think,
that might.
In the Phoenix Suns locker room. The Suns scrap. They're scrappy Suns. No, it's different. You keep those two letters there and it just sounds a whole lot different.
Grow up.
What, you grow up? Don't tell me to grow up, and definitely don't tell Frank Vogel.
I think he was talking to Frank
up.
Vogel.
You think he was talking to Frank Vogel? We're going to scrap. That seems cooler, I guess. It seems, you know, fresher. Scrappy? Nah. Maybe not. Maybe not scrappy. It's good stuff, though. So Frank Vogel and the Suns have to decide what to do about Chris Paul. But he could, well, he is a free agent. He may end up with Phoenix again. All right, coming up, we have a lot to cram in. I'm not kidding. First of all, Messi is headed to Miami. How about that? Tyreek Hill has a message for it's his new BFF. In addition, we've got a brand new quarterback on the cover of Madden. I promised you Kyle Shanahan to make you laugh, because if you ask him about Brock Purdy, he's as salty as Mike Malone.
I don't like playing this game.
He hates us when we ask about quarterbacks. But, I mean, how about get one then and stay with one? We don't have to ask anymore.
I would guess so.
It's after.
The finals are here, and the biggest assist is happening off the court. BetQL has the best sportsbook deals, bonus offers, and exclusive access to risk-free bets, giving you more bang for your basketball buck. Visit BetQL to unlock special offers and finish the season on a winning note. Whether you're riding with the Joker in Denver or playoff Jimmy in Miami, BetQL's bonus offers can be the alley to your sports betting oop. Go to BetQL.com/hoops to take advantage of these exclusive offers. That's BetQL.com/hoops.
Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
First and goal at the 5-yard line. They're still in shotgun. Josh is two receivers left, one to the right. Takes the snap. And John, did he give it to? No, Josh keeps it himself, and he drives forward, and he is in. Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen faked the handoff and ran forward for the 5-yard touchdown run.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I don't actually believe in curses, but I wonder if there's some Bills fans that are pretty nervous on this Thursday morning, because Josh Allen is the new cover boy. Oh, sorry, cover athlete, cover man, cover girl. I mean, if we say cover girl, can we not say cover boy? He's the new cover model.
He's the cover boy. It works.
He's the cover boy. Someone's going to get mad at me. For the Madden 24 video game. And so this is kind of a dream come true, really, for a lot of athletes. Josh Allen, obviously, has been one of the stars, one of the best quarterbacks in the league now for a few years. John Murphy there on Bills Radio. And so he hears the news, the big reveal, and I don't know, I kind of feel like he's gushing a little bit.
This cover is going to be awesome. Western New York is going to be extremely thrilled for this, and I'm so happy that, you know, they're going to feel like they get some of the respect that they deserve. And this is a city that's contributed a lot to football, and it's such a great fan base, and they deserve it a little bit, you know. And but I think that most importantly, they deserve a Lombardi Trophy, and that's what I'm trying to bring here. And that's I'm going to work tirelessly until me and my teammates get that done.
He is the first Bills player ever to be selected for the honor of covering Madden. And I like what he had to say. If you would have told me in high school that this would be an honor, that I would be on the cover of Madden, I wouldn't have believed you. Madden has such a special place in my heart. And really neat, if you haven't seen his tweet, I don't know if you want to retweet it, Jay, from our show account. He's called it a childhood dream come true. And there are a couple of cover shots from him on the Madden game. So it's pretty amazing. Good for him. He said he grew up a Madden gamer and that often he would play with his favorite team, the San Francisco 49ers. And then every now and then, this is kind of funny, he would sub in his offensive coordinator, Ken Dorsey, for Jeff Garcia. That's cute. Anyway, good for Josh. Congratulations to Josh. But if you do believe in curses, then are you nervous about something happening to Josh and or the Buffalo Bills because he's on the cover? It's rhetorical. You don't have to answer. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, you know, a lot of times when we're heading up to the top of the hour, we want to make you laugh just a little bit. Rory McIlroy may not make you laugh, although we'll get to him before the top. Did mention, we'll stay in the AFC East here. Tyreek Hill welcomes Lionel Messi to Miami. And this is a big surprise. Really excited. We actually talked to Jose Pineda, who's the Spanish play-by-play voice of the Miami Heat, earlier in the show. He joined us after game three. And he was all fired up about Messi. And so, yeah, everybody now getting in on it. I'm psyched that he's going to play for Inter Miami because I want to see him on U.S. soil. And Tyreek Hill, he wants to see him too.
Hey, what's up? This is Tyreek Hill. I just want to say welcome to the 305 Lionel Messi. Now we got two number 10s, but I just want to know which one is the fastest. But anyways, congrats to you, man. And shout out. And que lo que, papi? Welcome to Miami 305.
Maybe he'll learn about his first name, or maybe he'll just call him Lionel. How many Americans do you think are calling him Lionel right now?
More than half.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm sure he answers to that too. All right.
Lionel Messi.
It's fantastic. Just Messi. That's what you need to call him. I'm sure that it's going to be a really neat thing.
Messi.
Exactly. Do I need to credit that? Madden. The Madden thing was on Yahoo Sports. Sorry about that. For Tyreek Hill, it was just on his Instagram account. For Miami, they've already seen a massive surge in tickets, even though Messi's not here yet. But they were already seeing the fallout, I should say, of just people getting all excited to buy tickets for Miami. All right, I promised you some Kyle Shanahan.
Que lo que, papi? Welcome to Miami 305.
I don't know who's crankier these days. Is it Mike Malone? And actually, he's two wins away from an NBA Finals championship. Or is it one Kyle Shanahan who just can't stand talking about his quarterbacks, right? And so he was asked about Brock Purdy and to give us an update on his second-year QB who's recovering from the UCL surgery.
And I don't watch him, to tell you the truth. He's right on pace. I think he throws three times a week. I do not sit and watch those. It's part of his process of getting back, and he's continuing right on the track he's always been on. No setbacks, and I mean, it's been very good so far.
Is it your understanding, like once training camp starts, that he'll be able to do stuff on the field with the team before he's fully cleared to go play football?
I haven't asked any of those yet. We're taking it very slowly. It's not like you just jump out and push stuff. You're only supposed to throw on this date at this percentage, this many yards, and then you do a certain a couple days later. And if you stay on track, it should heal the right way. And right now, everything's right on track, and so we don't go any. I don't ask 3 weeks ahead. It's you just keep trying to stay on that trajectory.
Have you talked to him? How's his mental state?
Great. I think you guys can ask him, but I don't. I don't ask him how his mental state is every day. I see him every day, and it's pretty good.
Just normal.
Yeah, everything's normal. I know we want updates. I totally get it, but there are none. So I can make something up. But
oh
there
my
are none.
Gosh.
It's like it's just the next day of working out and rehabbing, and I don't get too involved in that. See him in the meetings, talk to him about football and stuff like that. Things what will happen when he's healthy, and we're just waiting for him to get healthy.
We don't have time for that.
He can't stand answering questions about his quarterbacks. I mean, he's actually told us before if I could survive all these press conferences where you ask me about our quarterbacks. Well, I mean, whose fault is that exactly? It's been a revolving door of quarterbacks for San Francisco. Going back to
I can keep surviving press conferences.
When he took over as the head coach, remember at the time it was Colin Kaepernick, but was it Blaine Gabbert?
I believe.
Okay, it's been a revolving door since then. They used three quarterbacks last year. Now they've got two of them back, but a different one is in their QB room in Sam Darnold. So, yeah, I mean, forgive us. I love how he says we, too, because he doesn't mean we. At the end of that, he's like, well, we could talk about it, but actually he said we would like answers. I mean, so sarcastic. Although, sarcasm is my love language, so I'm okay. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, a little bit of Rory to finish up your morning, because this time yesterday we were talking about the bombshell news about the PGA and LIV merging together. Yeah, Rory says, hey, stop it. This is not about LIV, actually. In fact, those guys should still have to pay the consequences for ditching the PGA.
There still has to be consequences to actions. You know, the people that left the PGA Tour irreparably harmed this tour, started litigation against it. Like, we can't just welcome them back in. Like, that's not going to happen. And I think that was the one thing that Jay was trying to get across yesterday. Is like, guys, we're not just going to bring these guys back in and pretend like nothing's happened. Like, that is not going to happen.
No matter what, it doesn't matter if the money is good for the PGA Tour, which Rory does acknowledge. He says, I refuse to accept this as a merger with LIV. And he understands those fans who are disappointed in this move.
It's not LIV. I think that's the thing. I still hate LIV.
Hate it.
Like, I hate LIV.
Hate
like,
it.
I hope it goes away, and I would fully expect that it does.
I hope it dies.
And I think that's where the distinction here is. This is the PGA Tour, the DP World Tour, and the PIF. Very different from LIV. All I've tried to do is protect what the PGA Tour is and what the PGA Tour stands for, and I think it will continue to do that. So, look, going forward, I hope that there's, you know, there may be a team element and you're going to see maybe me, maybe whoever else play in some sort of team golf, but I don't think it'll look anything like LIV has looked, and I think that's a good thing. Whether you like it or not, the PIF are going to keep spending money in golf. At least the PGA Tour now controls how that money is spent. You know, so I'd, you know, if you're thinking about some, you know, one of the biggest sovereign wealth funds in the world, would you rather have them as a partner or an enemy? At the end of the day, money talks, and you'd rather have them as a partner.
Ultimately, he says, if I take my emotions out of the decision, though he admits he feels like a sacrificial lamb after everything that's happened over the last year, the money will be good for the PGA and for golf in general. All right, we'll talk to you tonight after Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!